Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Welcome to you all to this service of worship. Welcome to those here in the sanctuary and to those who are joining us online, either at this time or later in the day or the week. A special welcome to those who are visitors. It's good to have you with us. Let us worship God. We sing to his praise and glory, hymn 104, being Psalm 148, the Lord of Heaven Confess. The call to prayer comes from Psalm 22. You are enthroned as the Holy One. You are the praise of Israel. In you our fathers put their trust. They trusted and you delivered them. They cried to you and were saved. Let us pray. Almighty God, your presence fills the universe. Yet in Jesus you have come to us. You laid the earth's foundations while the morning stars sang together. Yet you know each one of us by name. You spoke and showed the dawn its place and set limits for the sea. Yet you bless us abundantly and fill us with good things. Gracious God, in awe and wonder we approach you, and we give you glory, honour and praise. Loving God, before you our lives are like an open book. You know our innermost thoughts and desires, and you are aware of those things that keep us from truly being your people. We fail to keep your commandments, and our greed prevents us from acknowledging how blessed we are and blinds us to the needs of others. Lord God, for the sake of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Saviour, do not hold our sins against us, but in your mercy forgive us and grant us strength that we may turn again to you and live lives that are pleasing to you. Almighty God, in you our fathers put their trust, and they were not disappointed. Bless this time of worship, and guide us that we may not complain in adversity or boast in prosperity, but find joy and peace in your service. And all through that same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who unites us as the one people, and who taught us when we pray to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Today we launch the Blythewood Care Christmas Shoebox Appeal. One hesitates to mention the word Christmas, but I suppose it isn't all that far away. But I do commend the Blythewood Care Shoebox Appeal to you. We've been supporting it for many, many years now. There are leaflets in both vestibules of the church which indicate the type of items that we can place in the shoeboxes. But we realise it's quite a lot to fill a shoebox. So if you wish just to bring individual items along to the church, that'll be fine. And then some of our folk will put up shoeboxes with what you bring. And the closing date for the appeal is Sunday, the 3rd of November, which is just a few weeks away. That's in order that all the shoeboxes can reach their destination in time for Christmas. It says here, by filling a shoebox with simple things, you can bring hope this Christmas. I believe that this appeal is one that enables us to show our love and our support for those who are less fortunate than we are. So I commend the appeal to you, as I say, leaflets in both vestibules of the church today. Volunteers to give the grounds around the church the final tidy up for this year are invited to gather on Tuesday, a week on Tuesday, the 22nd at 1:30. And a big thank you to those who do tidy the grounds throughout the spring and summer and autumn. And I believe that since this is the last tidy up, there'll be tea and coffee and other good things served in the hall afterwards. So that may tempt you to come along a week on Tuesday. There'll be a Christian Aid coffee morning in our own hall on Saturday, the 26th of this month, beginning at 10 o'clock. And if you would like to help or donate baking, that would be super. Please speak to our own elder, Elaine Walker. Elaine's phone number's there on the intimation sheet. And I know that tickets costing £3 for the coffee morning will be available in the Michael Chapel after the service today and again next Sunday. So again, we want to support Christian Aid, an organisation that does wonderful work among those who are poor in the world today. So do mark that date in your diary. That's a week this coming Saturday. We sing the hymn 157. It's a good going hymn, and Tony is going to play a full introduction. 157, sing of the Lord's goodness.
Well, that was a lovely dance, wasn't it? Get us all in mood. The Old Testament lesson today comes from Amos chapter 5, verse 7 and then 10 to 15. It can be found in the Pew Bible at page 765. And can I just mention to those of you who are reading from the Pew Bible, verse 7 has been printed after verse 9, just to make it a little bit complicated. You that turn justice to poison and thrust righteousness to the ground, You that hate a man who brings the wrongdoer to court and abominate him who speaks nothing less than truth. For all this, because you levy taxes on the poor and extort a tribute of grain from them, though you have built houses of hewn stone, you will not live in them. Though you have planted pleasant vineyards, you will not drink wine from them. For I know how many are your crimes, how monstrous your sins. You bully the innocent, extort ransoms, and in court push the destitute out of the way. In such a time, therefore, it is prudent to stay quiet, for it is an evil time. Seek good and not evil, that you may live, that the Lord, the God of hosts, may be with you, as you claim he is. Hate evil and love good. Establish justice in the courts. It may be that the Lord, the God of hosts, will show favor to the survivors of Joseph. And the New Testament lesson is taken from the Gospel according to St. Mark, chapter 10, verses 17 to 31. It can be found in the Pew Bible at page 39. That's Mark, chapter 10, beginning at verse 17. As he was starting out on a journey, a stranger ran up and, kneeling before him, asked, "Good teacher, what must I do to win eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false evidence. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother." "But teacher," he replied, "I have kept all these since I was a boy." As Jesus looked at him, his heart warmed to him. "One thing you lack," he said. "Go, sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me." At these words, his face fell, and he went away with a heavy heart, for he was a man of great wealth. Jesus looked round at his disciples and said to them, "How hard it will be for the wealthy to enter the kingdom of God." They were amazed that he should say this, but Jesus insisted, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." They were more astonished than ever and said to one another, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "For men it is impossible, but not for God. Everything is possible for God." "What about us?" said Peter. "We have left everything to follow you." Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, there is no one who has given up home, brothers or sisters, mother, father or children or land for my sake and for the gospel who will not receive in this age 100 times as much. Houses, brothers and sisters, mothers and children and land, and persecutions besides, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first." Amen.
Thank you, Joyce. Lord of all being, throned afar. Hymn 125. It was a great privilege to preach in St. Giles Cathedral last Sunday morning and to be in the pulpit of that magnificent building. But I tell you, this pulpit has something that the cathedral pulpit doesn't have. Can any of you guess what it is?
A seat.
I am glad that one of the cathedral ministers told me before the service, there's no seat in the pulpit. That could have been very embarrassing. Let us pray. Lord of all being, whose light is truth and warmth is love, we draw near to you, and as we do, we thank you for the privilege of sharing with you those things that concern us at this time. We pray for all who lack freedom and whose lives are blighted by injustice. In a world where there is so much conflict and the innocent suffer, raise up, we pray, leaders, women and men, who will work for peace and equality for all. We continue to pray for the Middle East, for Israel, Palestine and Lebanon. Gracious God, let hatred be turned into love. fear to trust, despair to hope, oppression to freedom, and occupation to liberation. Creator God, you sustain the life of the universe and all that is within it. Forgive us for the damage we have done to the earth, for the pollution of rivers and seas, and for bringing about the extinction of wild animals, flowers, and fauna. And as we pray for the world, we remember all affected by Hurricane Milton. We pray for unity and strength, for neighbours to care for one another, and for community leaders, government officials, and aid workers as they seek to restore order and provide relief. Gracious God, we pray for all who are afraid to give and reluctant to share, for all who have amassed wealth but are poor in spirit, for all who are suffering through the greed of others and denied basic human needs. And so we pray for the poor of the world, for people and nations in debt, and for those whose lives are a daily struggle. As you are generous to us, teach us to be generous and willing to give. God of compassion, for whom all things are possible, we bring before you those who are ill in body, mind, or spirit. We pray for the disillusioned and depressed who find the complexities of life too difficult to bear. We pray for those living with chronic illness or facing a new frightening diagnosis. We pray for those in pain, those receiving treatment, and those on waiting lists. Loving God, may the skills and knowledge of those who care for the sick be fully used to help and to heal. May all who are ill know the reality of your loving presence amongst them, and may we who are well not be slow to give thanks for our health and strength. Lord of all being, centre and soul of every sphere, yet to each loving heart how near, as we pray for all who mourn, asking that they will be comforted, we thank you for those who have passed through this earthly life and who, having kept the faith, have entered into eternal life. Inspire us by their example, encourage us by their fellowship, and bring us with them at the last into the fullness of your eternal joy and peace. And all through that same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We sing the hymn 189, 189, Be Still for the Presence of the Lord. I think that's one of my favourite hymns. A wonderful hymn, great words, and an equally fine tune to match it. Being a prophet has never been an easy task, but Amos had some very real challenges. He worked for much of his life as a shepherd in the southern kingdom of Judah. But then one day, God called him to leave what he was doing and to become his mouthpiece, a prophet to the people of the northern kingdom, the people of Israel. Now, at the time in question, Israel was flourishing. The economy was buoyant, and many people benefited as a consequence. All was well on the surface. And being God's chosen people, there was, on the part of many, a belief that their prosperity was an outward and visible sign of God's favour. They were God's people. He would look after them and make sure they had all they needed. Just prior to the service beginning in St. Giles Cathedral last Sunday, I looked out in the congregation and I noticed someone who looked vaguely familiar. Could it be, I wondered, the Reverend Professor William Johnston? He had been my Old Testament professor when I was a student in Aberdeen in the 1980s. So it's a long time since I had last seen him. When the locum in the cathedral confirmed it was Professor Johnston, you will appreciate that I was delighted and unnerved in equal measure. Part of my sermon was based on a passage from the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy, and I found myself hoping that I had interpreted it correctly. The Old Testament is remarkable in that while some of it does not sit easy with us, there is much that is so relevant for today and these times in which we live. And we see that in this morning's Old Testament reading. Israel was flourishing. But when you scrape away the veneer of prosperity, which Amos was called by God to do, you see an altogether different picture. Justice had been turned into a bitter and destructive poison, that of greed. The poor had their grain stolen from them. Those in need were pushed aside and neglected, and those who profited from such a situation, well, they turned a deaf ear to the truth. And therefore, the prophet's message was not an easy one for them to hear. It was anything but comfortable. They were doomed. They were doomed. But then, suddenly, unexpectedly, there's a word of hope. Seek the Lord and live. One of the great wonders and truths about our God is there's always a second chance, an opportunity to turn things around, to change our ways, even to begin again. And that was the message that Amos conveyed to the people. It is good, he said, that you worship God at Bethel, but that is not enough. You must establish justice. You must do good for others, particularly the poor and the vulnerable. As one theologian put it, loving God and loving your neighbour are an inseparable pair. Now, as you think about this, as you think about this message from Amos the prophet, the word of God delivered by him all those centuries ago, isn't it amazing how much it resonates with us today? Amos's words speak powerfully, truthfully, across all these years to you and to me and to the world today. Look at our world today. A world in which there is so much conflict. We get up in a beautiful morning like this, cold and frosty but bright, and we wonder, how can it be that the world is as it is, with so much war and terrorism? And of course, there's more. The gap between the rich and the poor continues to widen. There is global warming. And it is a shocking statistic that 20% of the world's population uses 80% of the world's resources. My dear friends, you will agree with me. This is not how it should be. And this is not how God wants it to be. And so while there is for us too a word of judgment, there is also, even at this hour and moment in time, a word of hope. Seek the Lord and live. Turn around. Change your ways. Take the opportunity to begin again. The story we read from Mark's Gospel can also be found in Matthew and Luke. All three accounts begin with a man asking Jesus what more he must do to be saved or have eternal life. And Matthew identifies the man as young. Mark tells us he's rich. Luke describes him as a ruler. And thus we have come to call this the story of the rich young ruler. I think we can safely conclude that the rich young ruler did not have to worry about the life he already had. Can I suggest to you he is the equivalent of someone today whose mortgage is paid? That will be a good feeling, I'm sure. He doesn't have an overdraft. Sometimes I'm a wee bit close to it. And his stock portfolio is doing well. I don't know anything about that kind of stuff. But this man has got power, position, prestige, possessions and wealth. He's done well. But he knows something's missing. And he's to be commended for that. He wants more. And therefore, he ran up to Jesus and he called him good teacher. It's amazing how Jesus said, now, don't call me good, only God is good. And then he asked that question, what must I do to inherit eternal life? It's a big question. And Jesus reminds the man of the commandments. And one can almost hear the relief in his voice as he declares, teacher, I have kept all the commandments since I was a boy. Good. Well done. But his relief was short-lived. Because, do you remember what Jesus said? One thing you lack. Go, sell everything that you have, give it to the poor. And as a result, you will have treasure in heaven. As in the day of Amos, so here, the rich young ruler had the outward and visible signs of God's favor that his culture recognized. Life was good. And there is no reason for us today to question his sincerity or assertion that he had kept the commandments that Jesus had mentioned. But there was a stumbling block. To give up all his possessions was to surrender the tangible evidence of his goodness and virtue in God's eyes, not to mention in the eyes of his family and friends and the stranger in the street. And it was just something he could not do. And we're told that off he went with a heavy heart. He had a conscience. But he just couldn't take the step that Jesus asked him to take. Now, I've got to be honest with you, in reading this story, I cannot help but feel a degree of sympathy with the rich young ruler. It was an awful lot that Jesus asked him to do. And one gets the impression that the disciples certainly had sympathy for him. Indeed, when Jesus went on to say how hard it will be for the wealthy to enter the kingdom of God, the disciples were perplexed. They were astonished. They didn't understand. Because like those before them, they were raised to believe that earthly wealth, well, that was a sign of God's favor. But surely, we today would want to challenge such an assertion and such an understanding. If God's favour was truly reflected in our wealth and material possessions, then it would follow that someone like Donald Trump has more of God's favour than the likes of someone like Mother Teresa. But that's not how it is. One thing you lack. Now it's important that we note this. Jesus did not have anything against those who were wealthy. It's important to be aware of that. His issue was when one valued one's possessions and wealth more than the requirement to love God and love one's neighbour. And we get the very real impression that Jesus' heart went out to this rich young ruler. He really, really cared for him. But he knew there was a stumbling block. But Jesus didn't want to write him off as a lost cause. And therefore, loving him as he did, he wanted to give him a chance, an opportunity to turn his life around and live. But the rich young ruler just couldn't do that. Can I put it to you that in this story before us, it's one of the most familiar, and yet I have to say, one of the most problematic stories in the New Testament. But can I put it to you that in this story, money is but a symbol of the many different things that can be a stumbling block between us and God. Things such as power, position, prestige, pride. Do I really need to give these things up in order to be a follower of Jesus, to enter the kingdom and inherit eternal life? No wonder the disciples asked, who then can be saved? It was a valid question, given the conversation that had taken place. And how did Jesus answer it? Here's what he said. For men, it is impossible, but not for God. Everything is possible for God. There is something to hold on to. There are words to take away from the church today and carry with you through this coming week. Everything is possible for God. Thinking of the rich young ruler and the different things that hold us in their grip, as his money and possessions held him in their grip, well, it may cause us to think that we're far from the kingdom and therefore far from inheriting eternal life. But listen to this. Again, there is that word of hope. Seek the Lord and live. In Hebrews, we're told that in Christ we have a high priest who not only sympathizes with us, but helps us. He knows our flaws and imperfections. He knows what our stumbling blocks are, and yet we are told He intercedes on our behalf. And because of his goodness, we can approach the throne of God with confidence, and through Christ and his blood shed for us, we will inherit eternal pleasures at God's right hand. My dear friends, the mystery of our faith is that God's favour is given not to some, but to all. All we have to do is hold out our hands and accept it. And that is both the easiest and the hardest thing we can ever do. The easiest because the gift is free, but the hardest because our hands are so often filled with other things. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Following the benediction, we sing the doxology, the words of which you'll find at hymn 810 or on the reverse of the order of service. But before that, we sing the hymn 644 to the tune Wolvercote, O Jesus, I Have Promised.
Thank you.
Go in the peace of God and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you all, now and forevermore.